The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
It's time once again to be flabbergasted by the rolling tongue, the juggling of words, thoughts, and phrases, like a Spaniard on a tightrope. Here is the one, the only, the man of 2 hours, Frank Cotolo.
Is this the right one for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When? Just now. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
You did not.
Oh, I'm sorry, is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Oh, just the 5-minute one.
Fine. Thank you. Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Now, let's get one thing quite clear. I most definitely told you.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, this isn't an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's just contradiction.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It is not.
It is. You just contradicted me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did.
No.
You did, just
then. No, nonsense.
Oh, look, this is futile.
No, it isn't.
I came here for a good argument.
No, you didn't. You came here for an argument.
Well, an argument's not the same as contradiction.
Can be.
No, it can't. An argument is a collective series of statements to establish a definite proposition.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It isn't just contradiction.
Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
But it isn't just saying no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Argument's an intellectual process. Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of anything the other person says.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Not at all.
No, look,
Thank you.
What?
That's it. Morning.
I was just getting interested.
Sorry, the 5 minutes is up.
That was never 5 minutes just now.
I'm afraid it was.
No, it wasn't.
Sorry, I'm not allowed to argue anymore.
What?
If you want me to go on arguing, I'll have to pay for another 5 minutes.
But that was never 5 minutes just now. Oh, come on. This is ridiculous.
I'm very sorry, but I told you I'm not allowed to argue unless you pay.
Oh, all right. There you are.
Thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
That was never 5 minutes just now.
I told you I'm not allowed to argue unless you pay.
I just paid.
No, you didn't.
I did! I did! I did! Good, I don't want to argue about that.
Well, I'm very sorry, but you didn't pay.
Aha! Well, if I didn't pay, why are you arguing? Gotcha.
No, you haven't.
Is that? If you're arguing, I must have paid.
Not necessarily. I could be arguing in my spare time.
I've had enough of this.
No, you haven't.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cotolo.
Are you listening?
No, you're not.
That's what you can tell over there. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No, you're not. Yes, it is. No, I don't know what you mean. I do know.
Cotolo, the Bard of Broadcasting, on the air right now. Philosophical entertainment, relevant to irreverence. Netarati, couple surfers, netaholics, and infomaniacs. Here we go. Wake Up, It's Night. As we go down the Hallelujah Trail, Y2K plus 14, mid-April. Flying along.
到冰球，小村到大市，啊，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，系《Cthulhu Chronicles》。
From my scap to my scap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello, and into every bordello. And that reminds me that if you're going in and out of all those places, I was watching The New Cosmos. By the way, it's me. You know this is me by now. I was watching The New Cosmos. It's not called The New Cosmos. It's called Cosmos. It's a reboot of Cosmos, which I'm sure many of you people don't remember because you were too young to remember. And even after, we didn't start this show, even though we started this show many eons ago. It was after, way after Cosmos. I think it was the 70s. I'm the 70s Cosmos, the Carl Sagan's Cosmos. And then there's this guy whose name, I just cannot remember this guy's name. Another great interpreter of incredible scientific things down to the least common denominator. That reminds me, I got in touch with Dr. Woldar. my mind is going, you know what's happening, the neo-post-modernic, I made that up. Speaking of making up, that's what I was going to mention. I'm watching this Cosmos, the second Cosmos, part two of the second Cosmos. And once again, I'm astounded that the grammar is so bad on this show. That is a program, it's not a show. It's a program. And I don't remember the grammar being bad during Carl Sagan's run back in the 70s, but I do know that I brought up that this show started because before the second Cosmos, this is pretty much brand new. And we started something, I forgot, it was one summer, many, many years ago. It was the summer that my son Jack co-hosted. And one entire summer. Oh, by the way, see, I'm jumping around here because there's all sorts of stuff going on. Let me tell you that and then go to the other part about the show in the past. Okay. Well, we started what we call the Liquid Water Society, the LWS. And the LWS consists of people who come up with, I guess you would call them, repetitive, incorrect phrases. So, and we were, and this is the amazing thing about it, was that we heard this consistently from scientists and people at NASA talking about finding water on other planets. And, you know, we're not English teachers. We're not super English grammatical wizards, but we try to speak well and promote it. And here are some of the smartest people in the world. We're watching this, and they're talking about and they argue. They argued this, and we had people on, smart people, who argued this. And as you know, every particular subject topic has jargon, its own little phrases that it uses that are intrinsic to that particular area. Still, we're watching, and you know, and listening to some of the smartest people in the world. These are people who are looking into telescopes that go light years and
can see stars that have already died and know what happens in gastric compositions of planets in our universe and other universes, okay? And they talk about, at the time, I think one of the rovers was out there. I don't mean the Irish singing group. Famously, probably should send them out there one of these days. But they couldn't. They couldn't put enough alcohol in the ship to get there. But that's neither here nor there. And what about what is here or there? Is this these incredibly smart people? I mean, you got to be absolutely like Dr. Waldar and Sky Hall and all the and some of the people we have on this show. Even Dr. Popoli, though I dare say it because it's such a compliment. But he's a very smart guy. But these smart people, these incredible physicists, mathematicians, physimaticians, and Scientologist? No, not Scientologist. Holy Christmas. That's crazy. Why did they ever come up with that? I'm a Scientologist. Ologist? Scientologist? There's no science involved. It's fictionologist. The point is we made the Liquid Water Society a place where people came and found these phrases that are used not just in particular areas and subjects, like math and science, but they're not used in English because they're incorrect. So here's the smartest guys in the world talking about one of these contraptions they send out there. And it's very possible that this particular object, while it's going around this planet, can find liquid water. And I was never ever able to be happy with this particular phrase. So because it's all water, and you know we've said this on this show, and that's water. Look, every liquid in essence is water that tastes like that tastes or has a different kind of composition, thicker, or what? Water is everything that's liquid is water. Okay. So the amazing thing is that these are incredibly intelligent people. I'm just going over this again because so many people have joined this show since we began the Liquid Water Society, and now it comes back to mind because of the new cosmos. Here's what one of the smartest guys in the world said. He said, it's not called the contraption. Let's call it the Venus 9. It's always like a name. It's got a planet, the Saturn 2, the Apollo 3, or it's named after a god, the Zeus 10 or whatever, is on Jupiter now. And we're hoping it'll find liquid water. And what they're doing, and it's liquid, it's water. Why don't they say, you know, water? We hope it will find water. They don't say that because, you know, what they're trying to say, and it's amazing to think that they would take something and make it into try to make it clearer. Because let's face it, if water is not liquid, let's see if anybody in the room knows. Okay, maybe some of this. Okay, let's see. Maybe it could be shouted out by some of the people who happen to be here right now. Including Jeremy. Everyone heard Jeremy come in. He slammed the door and just walked into the studio like I think they did that in I wish you could see his face. Oh, I'm here.
That's my entrance.
Let the show start already. Okay, no.
That's
what
my
the,
entrance.
Yeah, what the Shem are you doing? It? What the Shem is wrong with you?
Oh, he's Shemming that.
All right, now I want both of you, Jeremy and his sire, so Steve Long is here. Steve Long does the news on FGYL or WKM. Do you still do the news anymore? No more news. Okay, forget. No. We know news is good news. News is good news. But he does. He's a broadcaster also. Broadcasters like to come around here, sit around. They think they'll learn something, and they learn nothing. If water is frozen, what's it called? All together now.
Ice.
Together. What? You can't even do it together? Yeah. I said all together now. One, two, three.
Ice.
Okay, now that we've blown out the entire, we've clipped to the umpteenth degree ice. It's called ice. Now, why don't they say, these smart fellows, why don't they say, they're going to find water. Because if they don't find water, the water is frozen, it's ice. Mm-hmm. But the smartest men in the world say, we're looking for liquid water. And so we found that absurd. We think it's absurd. And we started the Liquid Water Society, and people started sending in any number of phrases that they sent in phrases of things like that. Things that from various areas of, I guess, science, math, whatever. So I'm watching Cosmos with the guy there, Asmo Arno Tatanko. What's his name? I don't know. I can't remember this guy's name. Do you remember his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
What is it? You know? Good. What?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse. Is that his, like, that's his nickname? deGrasse?
That's his middle name.
Neil deGrasse?
No, not deGrasse. Oh, deGrasse.
Neil, hey, there's deGrasse. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Titan?
Tyson. No, Tyson.
Tyson. Oh, not, okay, like Mike Tyson. That kind of name?
Yeah.
Okay. Neil deGrasse. Now I'm always going to call him deGrasse.
Here comes deGrasse.
Cosmos hosted by deGrasse.
Don't forget to get your beverage. You've got to replenish your precious bodily fluids while you listen. Boy, I got a ton of stuff to tell you. I'm telling you. I got a ton of stuff. But I got to get through this first. Hold on.
The leafy grass.
But it's not. It's deGrasse? Oh, this has three names?
Yeah.
What's his name? Toots? I can't remember. Toots, look, the grand. What is this? I can't remember this guy's
Neil.
Name. Neil. He does not look like a Neil. So Neil is you know, in the new Cosmos, unlike the old one, a lot of the visuals are so much better because they have CGI and everything now. He's got this, you know, imaginary machine so he can go back and forth in time to explain what happened a billion years ago and what was going to happen and what did go to planets. He could go into space. He can go light years, which is not time. That's distance. And he can go anywhere he wants in this thing. Okay. So he's saying, and I haven't heard
can
him say
it for the weekend.
I haven't heard him say why another comic in town, is a, I know. He can't. There's no escaping my wrath. Frank the Wrath, Cthulhu. Come here. Frank the Wrath and Neil deGrasse.
Neil deGrasse.
This week, signing their books.
deGrasse and deGrasse.
grass, wrath, and liquid water. It's a brand new book. Come and see me and him. Okay. But he said this, and this is just one of the things he said. Remember, we're watching a show here that's trying to tell us, and it is telling us. It's not trying. It's telling us some of the most amazing things about life on Earth, life in our universe, how things began, what is life, what we have in common with, like, frogs and why and plants and things. I mean, it's like, you know, DNA, LSD, the whole bit, okay? So deGrasse says this while he's in his machine. He goes, and now we have to descend down into, whoa, I stopped, whoa, how am I going to understand? We have to descend down?
Oh.
Are we going to, excuse me, grass, are we going to descend down? Scientists, I think, I don't know, this is just a theory, and I'm not a scientist, but I got a theory. This is just a theory that scientists sometimes want to make things a little bit too clear. What's that?
Nothing.
You're just noise. You're just noise. You're a walking noise machine.
Everywhere I go.
Yeah, I know. If we put the mic in your stomach, well, God, what we'd hear. What did you have tonight to eat?
I had pizza tonight.
Oh, pizza! Another.
A whole pizza.
Not a whole pizza. Well, it's good to know the health kick is still there. So the. So he's and he's saying this, and I'm going to myself, and I can't fathom this. I just can't fathom this. How does somebody as dumb as I can recognize that mistake, and someone as smart as Neil deGrasse Tyson, how can he say, we're going and we descend down? If you think about all the things you say during a day, there's incredible a number of outrageously incorrect things. And the funny thing is, and I think that science theory I have about scientists, about making things, trying to make things so particular and so clear that they actually have to say more. You know, one of the greatest things about English is not that it has such incredible words for everything that you could be saying. The most incredible thing about English, the English language, this language, my original language, well, my original language. So I have one that's unoriginal? Yes, it's this one. Listen. Tigman Agndugmanans. No. The great thing about it, and the greatest thing about it, see, great, greater, greatest, is that it is so simple. You can say what you mean. You can say and express things simply. Now, all of this comes up because of what I'm going to talk about tonight in matters of how we live our lives and how we are always faced with way more than we need to be faced with in terms of how we do our daily business. And the great bureaucracy machine is just so absurd. And yet, and how I'll show you how you can get through it by, and so this comes up because there are people out there who are going to say these things. And you know, if you correct people, if you correct people.
Did you hear that?
It's just too funny. Stay with me. Hang in there.
This is that kind of humor that they don't understand.
Well, they understand. Well, why? We have a stupid audience. They don't understand
this kind of humor. They can't see what's
But they can
on.
Hear these squeaks and sounds. They know that I don't have... they know that when I'm here doing the show most of the time, a robot isn't walking around, and I'm not oiling machines. So when they hear things, they go, they're distracted. And they go,
what's... Can you imagine if you did the show while you were I know. Milking a cow?
While I made a robot, I think would be great. Every day of the, think about the things you say. And if you think about them, you'll catch yourself saying things that are absurd. And you could be a member of the Liquid Water Society very simply by understanding that you will never say things like, I'll bet you dollars to donuts and you buy the donuts that, if I gave you a minute to just say something. Well, I'll ask you, like, you know, you have seen a number. I'll ask you what you've been doing because I know you went out and saw Bob Saget and stuff like that, right? So I'll bet you that just because you're just speaking and talking in conversation, you will say at least two things so incredibly incorrect.
Okay.
Just with phrases and stuff. So
you're betting me dollars to donuts.
Dollars to donuts. You buy the donuts. So tell us. And then people, all I'm saying is that if you pay attention to what you are saying, you realize how much you say incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And don't think this, and this is my pet peeve since the beginning of the Liquid Water Society, is that this is now spread beyond belief. When I was a kid, I'd watch the CBS Evening News or the ABC Evening News. And by the way, 30 minutes of news is plenty, okay? So let's stop this 24-hour stuff, okay? It's just enough. You know, there's... Okay, and I used to watch it, and I looked up to these people, and I said, because if I could speak English like them, I could do broadcasting. If I listen to what they're saying and how they're saying it, if you're doing that today, you are being so misguided. You are being so intellectually warped by the English language. So listen to yourself and listen to them. And as far as the grass goes, this is a wonderful series. I don't mean to say anything bad about this. It's a really a wonderful series. And you could learn so much about it. I also want to ask you, because you went out, we had a show last week about the movie Noah and what it was really going on with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course you went to see it. I know. So by the way, thanks for the invite.
I did invite you at the show.
I know, I'm talking. Anyway.
We can go see Godzilla together.
We're getting a whole band of people. But, oh, yes, I told the boys we're going to see Gojira.
Okay.
Gojira. That's how you say it in Japanese. That's the original name of the monster in Japanese, Gojira.
So
Gojira.
What, you mean
it sounds like you're speaking Japanese when you say it that way. Godzilla. Sounds like, you know, it sounds like, sound, what does that sound like? It sounds like a Robbie the Robot. Remember Robbie the Robot?
Yeah.
Or that other one? Jamie Tobar the Ape Man. Remember Tobar the Ape Man? No. How about... here he comes, greatest thing you've ever seen, and his name is Mr. Machine. Remember Mr. Machine? You kids are so young. I can't believe it. I saw a guy today, and he was amazing. He was like, then he said to the person at the counter, whatever he said, and then he just moved away slowly, and I said to the girl behind the counter, I said, you know, it's amazing. He's 10 years younger than I am. And it's true that people are just growing old by the years. By the moments. Okay. Let's go back to this now.
And then we're going to get into
the convoluted talk and the bureaucratic language and everything. And you're going to see how you can state your case, say what you feel, and you will confuse everyone without going into the mumbo jumbo. I love that word, right? Mumbo jumbo in the humba, and then the humba in the mumbo jumbo. All right, let's not make this into a mob. Now, go ahead, tell us first where you went. You went to see some celebrities, God bless you, this week. Did Bob Saget have a? Does he have another book that's not going to make it out?
Another book?
Doesn't he have a
first book?
This is his first book. Okay.
Yeah.
A memoir.
So I went and met him.
And you said, "Hey, Bob, sign my book. How are you? What did you say to Bob Saget?"
I said, "Hi, Bob. How are you? I'm a big fan, and I am also a film major at college. Graduating this semester, moving to California, such and such." Just a quick, you know, bio about me so that we could discuss that.
So we could discuss you. I like that. So that we could just a quick bio here now so we could talk about me, Bob.
Yeah.
That's good. That's why I love this kid. He's great. He's great. He realized, those three Oscars you have on the wall? All right, nice. But let's talk about what I'm doing right now.
I assume that most people go up there and they're like, oh, Mr. Saget, doobie doobie doobie.
Well, you were there. Were most people doing that?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you don't have to assume it, do you? It happened. You just did something wrong right there. See, you just did it. You said, I have to assume that when people come up to him, right? People come up to him and go, well, you were there. So you don't have to assume.
Yeah,
it wasn't assume you were there.
Okay.
Sure. Did they do that?
Yeah.
So then you should have said, most people who went up to him, I assume, because you don't have to assume.
When I say I assume, I meant.
You see
in
how
general.
People, you see what I'm saying? People will immediately defend. They will not stop and go.
No, seriously though.
I mean, here's something people never say to me.
In general, like when he's out in the streets, not at that particular book thing, but out on the streets.
Here's what people say to me when I tell this. They go like, they never stop. They never go, hey, Frank, you're right, which is incorrect in itself. Hey, Frank, you're correct. They never say you're right. They'll defend it to the death. No, I mean, and even the smart guys. Here's the voice. No, I mean liquid water. I mean to say liquid water. What I'm saying is that you gotta differentiate the liquid water from the hard water. What hard water? It's ice. It's ice. There's a word.
You know why they don't ever say, Frank, you're right? Because they know that if they said that, you'd correct them again. No, it's correct! And then they'd be like, I can never win.
That probably is, well, they can't. I mean, because they're always going to say stupid things. That's why. And it never, I never stop. I don't care if it's my doctor. I don't care if it's my lawyer or my Indian chief. I just say, is that how you say it?
Why?
And yeah. there was a little ad about a local event they're going to have. It's a chicken barbecue and blood drive. So I went to them and I said, hey, let me, does the blood come with the barbecue? Is there the barbecue and blood drive? Barbecue and blood? Did you eat the barbecue and blood? I mean, you don't write it like
it's
a barbecue and blood drive.
They don't cut the barbecue.
It's a chicken and barbecue blood drive. Barbecue blood? What is barbecue blood? Is barbecue modifying blood? Or is blood modifying drive? It's like, you know, No, it's, you know, and then, and these people walk out of school with A's, like an A means something, right? Well, I'd like you to know that I got myself an A. And they don't talk like that because that's not even making a smart character into that kind
of
person.
That's how people with A's talk.
Yeah, right, yeah. Smart person would probably go, well, I'd like you to know that I've got myself a degree in fine English, in perfect English, and in grammatic English.
So let me get this straight.
Okay,
you went
else?
To this event.
What event?
Solely.
I didn't go to any event. I've been right here.
The barbecue blood drive. You went there to complain about the title of their event?
I went to tell them because it was in their newsletter. And then they're looking at me like, and here's the other thing people do. They go, oh, and they say the words, and you all know the five words I never want to hear when I'm conversing with someone. You know what I mean. I don't want to hear those words ever. If I correct you, or I don't care if you're a scientist. I don't care if you're Neil deGrasse Tyson or you got a machine that travels through light years and you go to Saturn. For all I care, you can go up Uranus. It won't matter. Here's what I'm saying. I don't want to hear that.
What if
I know what you mean, you don't even have to say it. That's what, yeah, I'm like, my mind, right? Like, oh, this is a conversation I have with somebody who I know what they mean. There you go. Why say anything? I think I just... you're not talking. You usually talk. Well, I know what you mean. So there's no reason for me to talk, is there? Now get out of my life.
That's a bit strong, don't you think?
I don't think any of it's strong. I'll tell you something. I came up with this topic for tonight. Not this topic. But this idea again. Because it's constantly presenting itself in my life. Well, we're always on topic in a certain way. You like those, and you like to Robert De Niro. You ever see when he does that? They can't see what I'm doing here with the two fingers. I'm always on topic with this thing.
Always on topic. That was De Niro.
Was that a De Niro imitation too?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. No. So the Liquid Water Society does exist. If you'd like to join it, please write me at fcatolo@yahoo.com, where I have to change my password now, too. Did you hear about heart bleed? Heart crack? Heart? What is it called?
What, someone heart blood?
Somebody, there was a massive today. I don't want to. Well, this is good. You know what? Many people. That was a sitcom moment, you know, but it had to be a visual. So I'm not even letting you people in on that one. That's it. There's someone, it's called heart bleed or heart blood. Didn't you guys hear about this today? Are you not? I thought you were on top of what goes on in this digital world.
I was sucked into Stephen Colbert.
Goody gumdrops. I don't even want to go to that particular area of conversation, okay?
Well,
not because I don't like Peter, not because I have history with David or don't care about David, and nothing. Not even being objective. I don't want to go there.
But one second.
All right, we're going.
I just want to say that last show after
they don't even know what you didn't even mention what the topic. What are you saying? If for people who don't know, just like you don't know, there was something that invaded the internet and stole thousands upon thousands of passwords.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Even though you don't know about that, all right, you continue with this shim without you go right into something without explaining it. Of course, okay. So I don't want this. I don't care about dating shows anymore because and that's what I was going to talk about.
Dating shows
because they don't drink much when I take them out. I don't mean dating shows. You see, there's another one. Are you dating shows? No, I don't date much at all. But I wouldn't take these things out because they're inanimate. And, you know, I've had sex with enough inanimate objects. I don't need to use these. So, by the way, my hand is an inanimate object. Here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying to you that people use these shows. They tape these shows. They make copies of these shows. And you can get them, of course, at juicedtalk.com. You could download all the archive shows, not all of them, because I got some in here that go back so far that they have cobwebs on them. But you could go get them there. And then, of course, when you make your time capsule, I keep telling everyone, it's time to make it. I did a number of shows during the years, over the years, about making a time capsule and put a Cadolo Chronicles disc in the time capsule. And then someone will go, listen, because they're going to know long after I'm gone that I paved the road to alternative broadcasting. And I'm not asking for a statue or anything, but I'm saying that this thing's on here that date to the present, to what's happening. So now what you're going to say is you're going to say, well, they have a letter on
retired.
I'm imitating you now? That's you when you're like 50. David Letterman retired.
I hope to sound like this. Well, today...
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't sound like
that.
Are you sure? No, I'm positive. So you are all excited today, and you get onto Facebook like you always do, and you go, what to do? Something else happened. Jump resistant. I'm all excited.
I just have a bunch of different voices.
I know. To me, it's like you're like this cartoon character. That's
what I'm like.
You're this cartoon character. I love it. You know, it's like, it's
Jeremy. It's the Jeremy Show.
And you get on the Facebook.
Hey, look, kids, another movie with a superhero. And the comedian I love.
Okay, tell. I want you to joke. It's good for you. Tell everybody what happened and why you feel so strongly about it.
I'm not sure I feel so strongly about it.
You took the time to put this on Facebook.
It's a simple click to the share button.
Do you think we don't have...
take the time to put it on Facebook?
Because what I'm saying is this, and I love this. This is what I think is so idiotic about Facebook. Okay, this is really idiotic.
It takes 1 second to press a button.
Yeah, but you know what? Listen, if you're going to do something, I try to put something... when I put stuff on there, that is unique, and you might not hear it like everywhere else on the internet. So people, put, the other day, all right, it was on the news, it was on the radio news, TV news, right? I said, I get onto Facebook, and it's, oh, goodbye, Mickey, Mickey, Rick, and Mickey, Rooney died. Goodbye, Ricky, may R.I.P. Rick and Mickey. Oh, we loved you, Mickey. You were the wonderful Mickey. You were the best Mickey. You know, it's like, goodbye. Who cares what one little guy in Macoken, Illinois, I don't even know if there is a Macoken, Illinois, just has to put R.I.P. Mickey Rooney. What? Did he know him? Did he care about him? Did he ever see a movie? If he did, who cares? But he's got to go, I feel real strong with a Mickey Rooney's dad. And that's the way he
talks. That sounds a lot like me.
I'm sorry. It's just the way it goes. And so here it is. So something happened today, and all of a sudden, it's all over. You don't listen to the news. You don't listen. They put it, go to Facebook, because somebody there is going to suddenly decide they have to be the transporter of this incredible news that everybody knows.
Well, here's the point, though. I didn't bring it up because I felt strongly about it.
Why did you bring it up?
Because after last show, you and I were taking that poll. Post-show last week, Frank and I were in the studio.
We did?
Yeah. Who would take over David Letterman? And they had all those options, and you had to pick.
Okay, now nobody's taking over David Letterman. He's not being invaded. See, you just did it right there. Who's taking over David Letterman? And now the news. An army from an unknown country came and took over David Letterman. He no longer has his own properties. He has his own senses. He is now in complete control by this... Nobody took over David Letterman. Who is going to replace David Letterman on The Late Show? No, that wasn't a question. I was telling you to say it correctly.
I'm saying you're the one last post-show who said, no way Stephen Colbert will do it.
I didn't think he would do it because I didn't think he would. Not that they wouldn't ask him. I actually thought he wouldn't leave his own particular spot and move on. But I guess it's money. It comes down to money. It's all about the money. And why not, right? Why not?
Yeah.
He's going to bring his audience over there and they'll do whatever they want to do. But that's the end of the Colbert Report. And so what? You know, I thought CBS was going to be adventurous, and I thought they were going to take the other route, which I would have done if I was a CBS guy, and I would have hired Kelsey Grammer, who is played Frasier. No, Kelsey Graysmart. Chelsea
Handler.
Huh? Sandler. That's Sandler?
Handler.
Yes, Handler. Because they don't have a woman, and I think that would have just, you know, it would have blew the whole late night thing, and she could have blown the whole late night thing too, right out of the water. But that doesn't matter because, you know, again, it's the we're going into the corporations, bureaucracy. They go with the least. They'll go with the least. The most they think the most. Someone built in, audience built in. I mean, you just can't walk in there like Conan O'Brien did. And, of course, he's as terrible as he was the day he started. So, but, you know, if you just walk in. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you like Conan? Did you meet him? Did you take a picture with him?
Oh, gosh.
I know. Jeremy really is you know, I told Jeremy a long time ago when we started talking about comedy. And Jeremy said to me, he said, look, you've been around a bit here and there. And, you know, why don't you tell me tell me about this stuff. He'd like to, you know, I want to know a little bit about this stuff. And then I immediately took off my boxing gloves and started to pound him, because this is a tough, tough, disturbing world. And if you want to know what's really happening out there, it's that. And guys like Stephen Colbert may have punched out any number of people, in order to do that. And he could have, as nice as a guy as he might be, and I hate the word nice to use it, and I don't know him, and I don't care about it, and I still have to point out to people that he has one distorted ear. People don't even see that. They go, did you see his ear? And they go, holy crap, I was sitting with somebody, I never noticed that, and I've seen every episode. Go on.
That is how it happened.
So why did you feel compelled to put anything on your Facebook about him there, being there? Because you did. Why?
I like Colbert, and...
And we care? But you like him, and why?
I think it's good
that
he will be able to be himself now on the show.
He's going to make $30 million. Whatever he does and how many pairs of underwear he stains while he's doing it is of no interest to me. And I like the guy, and I think it's great and wonderful, okay? But it's like, I don't understand the big deal.
Isn't that what Facebook is about? Posting opinions.
What? Opinions are like, what's the old saying? Steve, opinions are like elbows. Everyone has one. Yeah. Elbows, yeah. Can we say that? Steve, like, can we say that? Or the FCC going to get us? Him laughing at his dad. I love that. And it makes him fun of you when he laughs. You can make fun of me. I don't care. See, that's the problem with people. They don't realize I don't care. If they do it and they make fun of me. But they get upset. They take it personal. Yeah, I know. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Okay, let's move on. I wanted to mention that a couple of months ago, I did a show for lack of... I don't know why I did this show, and I thought it was a tremendous failure. Tremendous, actually, I shouldn't use as an adjective, because tremendous has a size. It's about size. I thought it was a... What? You want to find a better adjective? Go ahead.
It usually means... Okay.
I don't want to hear tremendous. I know what tremendous means. I want to find a better adjective for failure.
Absolute.
Absolute is good, except failure is the opposite of success, and failure indicates absolution, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Failure. In other words, no success, yes. So I didn't even have to modify it. I could have said big failure, and then you would have to go, oh, there are small failures? You think you have to define them? That's how easy English can be. I didn't end the sentence with is, because that would be incorrect. It was a failure. Because I thought when I announced doing this show that I was going to find shows as far back as the beginning of the millennium, and I couldn't find them. But this week, amidst, okay? Some people would say amidst. Why? Because they want to speak like Shakespeare? No, you don't say amidst anymore. And you don't say amongst, you say among. So people who say amongst... Okay, when somebody says a sentence and says to you,
bald guys, right?
Somebody says anything to you anywhere. If your teacher says, and I know because my son Ray, who's in high school now, okay, he gets into trouble constantly by telling his teacher that she's incorrect when she says something. Says, you know, you shouldn't say that. And I say, just keep telling them that. I don't care. I'll come up and I'll tell them, and I'll go head to head with those teachers, okay? And I'll shove it up their pronouns, okay? And then it's not going to happen. So the thing is if someone says, amongst all of the people, I like you best, and they would say the best, they wouldn't say best, they could say best. And you could say, thankest from the bottom of mine heart, that thou dost lovest me. And then they look at you like, what are you talking about? Why are you saying that? You said amongst. I thought suddenly we were going to talk Shakespearean English. How about we do that? And then they look at you and they go, come on. You know what I mean. Amongst. So go ahead. Do you know what you were saying before I went into that?
No, I don't remember.
What was he saying? How's Bob Saget doing anyway?
Oh, he's good.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's in good shape.
He thinks I'm going places.
Now, yeah?
He thinks I'm going places.
Yeah, and how many people did he tell that to?
I don't know.
You don't know, because you didn't listen. You wanted to hear it. You wanted to hear it. You didn't want to hear him say the guy, but there was a guy behind you, and you were like so annoying. Every time you looked at him, you went, ugh, oh boy. Well, because there are just people you see that you don't like, for no reason whatsoever. Well, let's face it, we all do that, right? It's like, I don't know what it is.
I don't like that guy.
And you get this feeling of motion, everything goes on. And then, so you left, and you left like,
and then Jeremy walked out with the book, and he walked out into the street. Hey, Bob says, I'm going places, right?
And there's Bob, right, with his smug little face, his glasses, and his vocabulary of filth that he carries everywhere, talking to some other kid, and the kid goes, I tell jokes once in a while too, Bob. And Bob goes, you're going places, kid. And the kid went, right, come on, you know Bob Saget doesn't know or care about any of us. I think you're going places. I said that, and that's why I invest time in you. But it's like, where is he now? Mister, I think you're going somewhere. Did he come tonight to see how you do on this show and your co-host? No. Has he called since you saw him? No. Are you mentioned in his book? No. So, everybody, let's drop an F-bomb on Bob Saget. Now, this is something we don't do often, but let's do it at the count of three. You know what we're going to say, right? We're going to F-bomb Bob Saget. One, two, we're not going to do that. Here's what I wanted to say, though. Yeah. But he wouldn't care anyway. It doesn't matter.
He'd appreciate it.
So while I was in this, I was involved in an imbroglio with a bureaucracy this week. I'm not going to go into personal details and stuff like that, but we all do. We all get involved with this because we have to live our daily life. And everything that we do is going to involve something, a corporation of people. Look at the internet, right? Even on the internet, even if you stay home and you're on the, and all you do is, I don't go out, I just sit on the internet. That's how people talk when they don't go out and on the internet. No, it doesn't. Maybe they're like this. I don't go out. I sit on the internet. Well, if they're French, whatever. Hey, you know, if you do a French funny, you can't do a Southern French funny. Do you ever think about it? You can't do a Southern French dummy. If you want to say, like, you know, you always pick up that Southern, that farmer guy, and you make him into an idiot as a character, you know, you rah, 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 like I did in English. What do you do in French? Doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. No, you go to the south of France, and they're all still... There's something like that. You go to the north of France. And there's all like that. You go to the east and west of France, the same crap. So we all get involved in this stuff. And here's what happens. I'm looking through my drawers, not my pants, okay? My drawers. Somebody would make a joke, right? I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I'll never know. See, that's because it's a misplacement of, it's the barbecue blood drive. Hey, let me have a gallon of that damn barbecue blood.
Hey, taster.
Hey, Bessie, put it in a big carton. I'll just drink it right here. You got a straw? Okay.
Bessie.
So I'm looking through my the drawers of my cabinet where I keep files of papers. We have to keep papers. Isn't it amazing? What do they tell you about receipts? They say saving for what? Is it 7 years? You have to see, right? What is the statute of limitations? Not the one in New York. That's, see, joke right based on miscalculation, okay? And man, every time you listen, it's a lesson, isn't it? So what is the 7 years? What is the statute of limitation? Murder has no statute. You don't even know. You go to college, not one time in the old college did you even hear that phrase, statute of limitation, did you?
Oh, I heard it. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it, but I never thought it. I was going to tell it. I was going to ask Bob Saget when I saw him. But I didn't. Okay.
That would have been a good thing.
Yeah, hey Bob. You know, I like to do that. And the great thing about it's not a great. To me, it was a great thing. This is how I was never intimidated. People used to ask me, "God, I saw you in pictures with stars and things, and you talk all these stories. You got all these stories. You met this guy, that girl, this one here once, twice, whatever. You know, so many people. Did you always like say, hi, I'm Frank? And no, you know, the best thing I found to do was to act as if you knew them already. And I never introduced I let them find any reason whatsoever to say, who are you? You know, and if they did, while we were having a good conversation, I would not consider them very pleasant or what have you. Because there's that situation where if you belong somewhere, and you just act like you belong there, of course. It's how people crash parties, how I used to crash parties. Nobody's ever going to ask you. And if you talk to somebody and you're in a position where there are celebrities, they know you're here because you're with doing something with some. You're involved. Otherwise, you'd be out there with those jerks who buy the tickets to see me. Like, yeah, okay. So, what I mean? No, I didn't mean that. Where were you? So the point is, I would just go up to people and I would go, "Hey, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing?" And then we'd talk about something. If I had nothing to say, I wouldn't say anything, or I'd just say hi. And I walked by probably more personalities or celebrities than I ever stopped and said hello to while I was with a bear. And then there were other ones who, you know. You were in a number of places. You were somewhere else over the weekend too. I saw you taking other pictures somewhere. Where were you? Where else were you taking pictures with people?
This past week?
Yeah, where were you while I was homesick? I was homesick, by the way. There were pictures. You had pictures. Did you go to a Comic-Con or a Dabacon or a convicts convention or what? Where were you? There were more pictures. You put up more pictures of you with people. Okay, forget it. All right. You just went to see Saget? That was it. Where was Saget?
New Jersey.
Oh, that's why. Maybe that's, you took more than one. You took pictures of you and your friend. You didn't go alone.
I took pictures of my friends.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You didn't go alone.
No other celebrities.
You didn't go alone, though.
No, but I took pictures at White Castle.
Oh, yes, you did. That's right. Yes. And you said New Jersey. You said you can't go to New Jersey without going. Yeah, and by the way, you can. There's no law in New Jersey that you have to stop at White Castle. You can go. You know what I mean. You were doing one of those things like New Jersey and not go to White Castle.
It was scary there.
It's not as good as it used to be. Yeah. I told a great story. I think it's a great story. And a lot of people who heard it thought it was great. So I'm not going to tell you right now about my first trip to White Castle. We'll go back into that. It might actually be in these shows. Now, here's the story. Here's what I found. While I'm looking through all these receipts and having all this this conversation with the bureaucracy, and even though we've gone an hour now and we haven't really gotten into it, but we will. We will get into it. And that is that I found three CDs, and I don't know how I did this. They must have been 24-bit, or the files of the shows must have been so small that they were able to fit on these 700 MB, which is MB is what, megabytes?
Yes.
Okay. 80 minutes. Backups. This says data. This is a data. I don't know what that means. We're going to have to find out. This is a data. Cotolo Chronicles backup shows from 2002. All right. We'll do the math on that one. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeremy. Are we interrupting your iPhone time now? Oh, wait a second. I know. Just take a second to put something on Facebook. Did you tell everyone you're going to be here? Because I didn't look at Facebook.
So. I told people.
Okay. So this says backups, data backup. So I don't know what that means, but there are shows there. I found another one, 2000 data backups.
Data?
D-A-T-A, data. Oh. And then here, backup, 2006. This could be the whole year. 2006, there are probably celebrities on here. People who I talked to for a while. None of these celebrities told me I was going places. But they're on my show. So here I did that show that was a failure because the ones that I could find, there were some good shows there.
You think the whole year of 2006 is on there?
It's possible. It's a possible lot. And I don't know what a data backup is weird. This might be no good, or it might be able to be made into an MP3. I have no idea. But there are. So I found some of these. So I am going to eventually do a show where we get into some of the real older ones, because there's some celebrities and people on there who we might want to play. And we could play some of these again, because they're not archived anywhere. That's the point. And then and I thought there were so many more. Who?
Yeah, like who?
Then. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Who did we have on? We had on Matt Mungall, who won the Academy Award for face plastering and Coppola's Dracula. We had the other lady from Rome, the lady who made the costumes. And remember that very popular TV show, Rome?
Yeah.
Huh? You like this look, don't you? And she's been on Robin, of course, was on the show.
Uh-huh.
And Robin Matthews, who, by the way, is still traveling around, will find time for us and be on our show sooner or later. What else is happening, Dirk? Now I just move on to that, right? Now, this is the 10th of the 17th April. Next week might be Dr. Waldorf. It might be our Cambodian cocktail. We're going to have to... I had to talk to you guys about that. We want some people here, okay, for the Cambodian cocktail.
I'm not coming.
Okay. Then we'll get some people who will enjoy it. We'll... This is ready with the... And... Well, we won't even talk about that until... That won't be next week. Tom Savino will be here on the 24th of April. And I've been, I was at a horrible, horrible dream about Tom. But I didn't hear anything at all bad about him today. So I didn't want to call him and tell him that I heard. Instead, I'll tell the entire world on this microphone. I had this horrible, horrible dream about him. But I hope he's well. And I don't think those dreams mean anything anyway. We had people on in the past who will never be on again because I did not believe what they told me about their supernatural powers. My name is Frank Cotolo, by the way. We haven't even mentioned this, although I don't know where you would hear this kind of crap anywhere else. You must know it's a Cotolo show. Jeremy Long is here with us, and his father, the man who provided the DNA for Jeremy Long's actual existence, is here with us also. He brought wine, but I'd been drunk once already tonight, and I said, I'm not going to do this. Instead, I will be shooting up during the show. Now, we're going to talk about, and we have been talking about, because inside of this was, you know, how you speak, how you express yourself, when you're dealing with the things you have to deal with every day means you have to talk to people who are going to speak incorrectly. They're going to talk circles around you. They're going to give you forms that have incredible pieces of information on it that you don't want to get into, you don't want to read. Nobody wants to read. Think about, you know, when you do something on the internet and it has like 23 pages and all these little lines of like, here's our agreement. But you want to get through it, you're getting through it. So do you agree? Everybody agrees. Nobody reads the crap, right? Somewhere in there could be something like, every third pair of underwear you will not wash, wear for 3 weeks and then send to us. They cut off my account. They said, well, you agreed to this thing. Didn't you read it? It says that we haven't gotten one pair of underwear from you, you know? You don't know because you don't read it. Nobody reads that. Nobody ever just wants to get it done quick and move along. I'm like that too. I read, and those are like what they call boilerplate agreements anyway. This is the various stuff that's on. But anybody could stick something in there. That's what they do with laws in the United States of America when they have pork and stuff, right? You know about that because you do government. You don't do government. That was a bad friend. Just you read about government and stuff. You hate government, all that kind of stuff, right? If there was no government or call whatsoever right now, I would just shoot you. And I'd get away with it. So it didn't matter. Mm, not that I would shoot you.
You're doing government. You do government. Oh, I wish we had it.
You know government.
You know what I mean.
You know what I mean. So every day you do that, and of course Jeremy does it because you do school alone. You have to deal with, and you understand this because, right? You have to deal in a certain way with the bureaucratic machine that is school every single day, and it's something that you have to get into. The mindset to perform and do that. You know you can't act like you act with everyone else, and you know you can't express yourself the way you express. You go into another, you play that game with them in order to, and you pay them, don't you? Or did you get a scholarship?
I pay them to act.
You pay them, yeah. If you want to have a license, you have to go to a department of licensing. You have to pay your taxes. If you get into trouble with taxes, you have to talk to the people who talk. This is from Brooklyn. Did you hear that one? You have to talk to the people. Where else? Even when you, corporations, businesses, anything you do, you want to. I got recently found out I was getting screwed by an electric company because I don't even understand how this works. I was, you want lower rates? We'll do it through us. The electric goes through us. It goes to the big guy. And then you get, right? Well, they did. They gave me cheaper for a while, but I didn't realize that they could raise it when they want to. And then my bill's going up and I went, what's wrong with you? What's going on? And the electric company says, well, you signed that thing with those people. And that's how they sound, the electric company. Well, you signed that thing with those people and they're allowed to raise it when they can. And I finally looked at the bill after 2 months and I went, those sons of bitches. And so I called them up and I said, you people, I called them up. This is a company, okay, and I'm totally for this, and I'm going to tell you more about it. It's 9:59. When we come back, I'm going to tell you how you can take down. I took down companies. I got to the top. I did what I had to do. If you do more of this, you'll get your way dealing with everybody this way, and I'm going to tell you about that after we come back from the break.
Oh, leaving us in suspense.
Always, for part two. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name is the title of the show, Cotolo Chronicles. And we'll be on for another hour. Stay with us, because whoever you need to talk to, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, your tax man, your government, whoever it is, I'm going to tell you how to make some noise, get response. It has to do with English. It has to do with attitude. And it'll be great. So we'll be right back with... How are we going to do this if we don't have a mic? We'll move it up, but we'll be right back.
Oh, no.
These are the sounds of impaired driving. And then...
I don't think he's going to make it.
When you drive impaired, there's a price we all pay. Emergency response costs, doctors, caregivers, and more. Studies show that impaired driving costs us billions of dollars each year. But the victims of impaired driving pay the biggest price.
Change for the better.
MAB Canada, helping the victim, stopping the crime.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything, packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Arthritis isn't just about getting old. In fact, arthritis is a serious disease that affects more than 4 million Canadians, including baby boomers and children. For many people, arthritis means pain and disability. But there are answers for those struggling with the disease. The Arthritis Society can help. We offer hope through education, support, and solutions with information and programs to make life easier. The Arthritis Society. Visit us online at arthritis.ca for help or to make a donation.
Smoking has its benefits, you know. You can enjoy the good weather. I'm f***ing cold. You can get away from your children.
Daddy, can you help me with my homework?
Don't waste my time. I'm busy. In fact, I can keep my weight under control.
God, your teeth are yellow, and you're still fat.
Glamorous life of a smoker.
Lung cancer is still a leading cause of death. For more information, visit cancer.ca.
I wish Daddy didn't smoke.
Hey, girls, we know it's hot. When a guy respects a girl enough to ask and doesn't just try to make a move on us. We don't want to be pushed, pressured, or persuaded to have sex. We can make up our own minds. And when we say no, we mean no, not maybe or I need to be convinced more. It doesn't matter what we're wearing, what we've done in the past, or whether or not we said yes but then changed our mind. It's hot when guys respect our decision. If they don't and try to force groping or sex, it's illegal. That's right. Groping or sex without our permission is illegal. And any guy who tries to get away with it can get arrested for sexual assault. And that's on his record permanently. Hey, real men respect. And respect is hot. Respect! For information about sexual assault, log on to WCASA.org. That's WCASA.org. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
We interrupt this program for no reason. Had there been a reason, you'd have been asked to go along with it and perhaps even take off your pants. But there is no reason, so now we return you to the program.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio, the people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio, the turn to mon, swinging. People's choice, East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes the scene.
Okay. There's a large microphone in the mouth, and you would think, huh? There you go. 50 years in the fish business, and he still doesn't know how to swim. And things like that people used to say. Okay, radio. You're listening to the Digital Revolution Forum.
I'm back.
You're just, and then people have been asking for you. Like, when did he go? Right here is Cthulhu Chronicles. I'm Frank Cthulhu, man's name and joint title of the show. Jeremy Long is with us, at least until he moves to an undisclosed location. Or on one Thursday night when he finds that there might be a celebrity he'd like to hang out with us. Come here. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, it's Cthulhu Chronicles, Y2K Plus 14. It's the 10th of April. We're right in the, almost in the middle of it. April seems like an awful long month, doesn't it? Well, maybe not to you. That's just, to me, it does seem that way. Let me tell you a couple of stories in one way or another. I never stop and go, here's story number one, here's story. Yeah, I don't do it like that. We're just going to flow along here. And then anytime anyone has a comment, just raise your hand or find a spot like that. See, there was a spot right there. Find a spot. This has to do with timing, okay? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Find a spot where you can just stick, say something or stop me or use
it. I will do that, but first I'm going to...
I'm personally going to interrupt. What? You're going to what? You're writing to somebody?
I'm posting this on.
Oh, you're posting stupid pictures?
Just letting everybody know that we're on there. And
That we're actually here and we're doing funny. Oh, okay. Very good. That's promotion and that's what people can do. You know, we couldn't do that in the old days because, in the old days, we're not that long ago. But let's talk about things that people don't do. Why they get into trouble with bureaucracy. Why do people get in trouble with bureaucracy? It's because they don't speak up soundly and smartly. Usually they either speak up with anger, and then when they're overtaken with anger, they just appear annoying and they don't state their case. You can state your case. Let me tell you something that's happened with the digital revolution that has made an incredible weapon out of something else that used to be a common way of communication. And that is this. Now, if you're having problems with a company or a product, say you buy a product in the store and you, and this product, of course, is going to be hundreds of people involved in this. There's the advertising industry. There's the printing industry. There's the design people who design the product package. There's the people who create the chemists. If it's some kind of cream or anything like salve or something, there's the distributors. There's the truck drivers. And this is like an enormous consortium of companies and bureaucracy, because every one of those places has to have what? They have to have a payroll and a bank and the money and the bling, blah, 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 all to get your thing. Okay, now you get this product, and you shouldn't think about all that. There's a famous Abbott and Costello routine where Costello doesn't want to put ketchup on, and Abbott insults him by saying, but you don't eat that ketchup, and he brings back, you know, the people don't work and people don't feed their children. The children die. He gets it down to, you don't eat ketchup. And there's nothing you need to feel guilty about is what I'm saying. Never feel guilty about this. Here's the weapon, and I'm going to give this to you right now. And I'm telling you, this works. Okay? It's called a handwritten letter. A handwritten letter. Not an email. Not a Word document that you attach to an email, not the text that you would write in a Word document and put on an email. I'm talking about your hand, a pen or a pencil, and paper. If you write a handwritten letter, it means a couple of things to a company, to a corporation. You could never do this even if you call up. You know, they got numbers on these products. If you're disappointed, call 1-800, bum, 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 bum. You call up, and then what? You're dealing again with another machine. The machine is this. And they put you on hold. They catch up. You have a 5-minute wait. You don't have a wait. Yes, what would it you like to tell me? He says, I'm having a problem. Okay, whatever. You talk to some person who doesn't, you know, can't even express their self because they're being paid to express the company policies and stuff. Okay, but if you write a handwritten letter, somebody opens that letter because they get their mail. They want to know. And when they open that letter, you make a personal connection with somebody on a level these days that you never could, because one time everybody used to write letters. Remember with all the jokes and the comedy about celebrities, and they show the mailbags? Look at all the mail we got today! You know, and then they have to have people to read that stuff, okay? Tons, because it's all done that way. And today, I'm sure, well, the company goes, we got 430,000 emails today. Do you think somebody's going to look at that? No, none of those emails, no matter what you do, are going to come to the forefront. No bells and whistles are going to get the attention of the right people. Okay.
Unless the subject line says bomb, right?
Unless the subject line said bomb.
Yeah, because then they'll be like,
no, I don't even think that works.
You don't think like
no, because I think already people know that. Oh, here's another one of those ones with the subject line that says bomb. They think it's going to get our no. The only way it would get you if it was literally, I don't know, somehow or other, I don't know if anybody's figured this out yet, send an email that blows up. I don't know. What about, what is it? Scat Chan? No, Scat Chan. Chat, Scat, Snapchat.
Snapchat, yeah.
Just disappears, right?
Okay, after, like, however many seconds.
But no, let me tell you this. This is as serious as I could ever get, okay? Because I do this. And let me tell you something. My rate of satisfaction using this tool, which was once everybody used because there was no email. There was no, what did you, right? I do this. Here's my rate of satisfaction. 100%. That letter will get to somebody, and that somebody will immediately see this day and age, the day with, now text too. I mean, text, there's apps, there's daps, there's snaps, there's chats, there, whatever. They're going to get this. And here's immediately what goes into their head. Somebody took the time to sit down and use their hand and pen and put the... I better read this. Now, what you put in there is that's a separate side of this. The point is that's the tool. If you write a letter, you are guaranteed to get it an answer. You are guaranteed to get some kind of satisfaction. If you didn't like them, you send you coupons or a bunch of apologies. And that's what I mean about the content in there. You never demand that you want your money back or anything like that. What you do is tell them, and in every possible way you can, it doesn't have to be long or anything, but it should be, because it's written. Someone sat down. Can you imagine? Who would have thought there'd be a time when the founders of this country, right? We're going to go, we're going to have to write a constitution. And they're like, oh no, we got to sit down and write it. It's like, we got to even, the ink, it goes all over the place. On that paper? It's like, on that. Okay, because you don't understand that, okay? But today, because of technology, it has given this tool the power of weaponry. Is that a word? Weaponry or weaponry?
Weaponry.
Weaponry, yes. Given it, okay, and you can do it. You sit down, but you don't say that. What you do is you express there, you put the name there to who it may concern, and you say, I bought your product, blah, 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 sometimes, and it's always good to either have your receipt that show them and send that, or a piece of the package. You rip off and you put in the, I don't rip it off, you don't steal it. I mean, you rip it off, you tear it off of the package, and you put it on, in the envelope. That's more. That's even more. Look at this. They took the time to do this. Tell them where you bought it and say, wow, am I disappointed? I cannot tell you how disappointed I am in this product. I certainly can't recommend this product to anybody I know who uses such a product. Anything. And then say cordially, be nice. Don't be good about it. Be gentle about it. Be strong about why you don't like it. Say why you don't like it. It's too gooey. It doesn't even matter what you say. It doesn't look good. It doesn't. And you know what? If you attach to that you were drawn toward that product because you saw an advertisement on television. Oh my God, are you going to get unbelievable? Unbelievable. Because that puts a stain on the dollars that they put into lying to you on a commercial, if they do. And most of them do, because they only have 30 seconds, so they can't go into the details. Look what they do with drugs, right? How quickly they talk about this. This is what can't get to sleep. Snooze it all. We'll get you to, right? And then on the bottom it goes, actual name, Snozotica Nakazuno, right? It's on the bottom. You know, it's like dinosaurs. Oh, it's a stegosaurus. Actually, it's Acopotamus sacadugalus. You know,
plus like, at the end they say, side effects may include.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Then they tell you they have to put that in like really fast. Yeah. They say, may include backdrops, neckache, backache, fuckache, duke, farm, vomiting, dingling, and death. Right? So if you do that, and I can't tell you, I'm going to guarantee you, just a regular stamp, right? Yes, because there is still a post office. Somewhere in this country, you can go to a post and give me a stamp. You know, you get the addresses always on the product somewhere. Just send it to there. And then say, you can say consumer department. You can say anything. Now, this can also work in conditions where, and this is the best advice now ever. And I'm telling you, I can tell you stories, personal stories, and document them. Where I have done this, and it has happened, I mean, I followed through, and it took place, and made noise, and I got response, okay? And it doesn't matter. But this is an important one right here. And I will tell you a story about one after I tell you this. Here's another thing. If you want to talk to somebody, let's say you have a problem with a service. Let's talk about a service. I'm not going to mention any names, but I'll talk about a particular service. The service is exterminators. Now, I'm not talking about members of my family back those days, because you can't send letters to them. Although I would imagine if you had to send a letter to, but here's the deal. mean, you have to send a letter. Where do you send the letter? To care of Mafia. You know, it's like Cutthroat Street and you know, and Concrete Shoe Avenue.
Concrete Shoe.
I don't know.
Oh, what a bunch of shit.
Don't ask Shem. You never even talked about Noah, but that's okay. That's old hat already.
You know what? That thing pretty much wrote itself.
Well, that thing pretty much wrote itself.
That movie.
Okay. Well, let me just say one thing though, and that is this about that. When we go before I tell you this wonderful thing, just constantly keep people hanging, right? And that is that all the stuff I talked about and we talked about and the stuff that was going on, that was all right on, wasn't it?
It was all right on, but done, executed poorly.
That's just an opinion, executed poorly. So the billions of dollars they spent for effects, the rain looked fake. What? The water looked what?
More of like the plot line, to be honest. All the visuals were
executed.
Good.
Oh, the visuals are good. It was executed. Well, they said there were some flaws in it, but the points that we were trying to make and the points that we made in the reviews we read were that was right on there, right? And so that's why people. As a matter of fact, later on that week, I heard Glenn Beck say something where he said, "You know, if I was going to do it, because he wants to do movies now, he's not going to be in movies. He wants to be a production company that makes movies." He said, "If I made the Noah movie, it would be the Noah in the book." So he wanted it, and we talked about how that was not the book. So he didn't like it. The people on the right didn't like it, and the people who lived their lives believing in such fiction didn't like it. Okay, so let's go back to what it is.
Exactly.
You want to talk to somebody. Let's say you work at a big place, a place where there's hundreds of people, thousands of people. Okay. And you have a problem, a big problem with you. It's a big problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you can, and remember, in certain situations, I'm telling about a certain situation. I'm not going to mention the company, but in a situation where, oh, well, that's what I said. Your service. We're talking about service, not working for a company. See, I got to go back now because I made a mistake because you threw me off with Noah. Nothing ever throws me off. I went right back to where I started. That's why I'm an artist.
Noah.
An artist always knows where they left off. You could start writing a book and then leave it for a year and a half. You go right back to it, right back where you left. Snap it in there, baby. Snap it in there. Okay? Here, listen. So you have a service. You hire this company to exterminate bugs in your house. Okay, so they do it, and then you say, and they say, well, you know, we can do this every week for 10 weeks, and there'll never be bugs, and there'll never be mice. You'll always be clean. And they don't do it in rhyme, I might add. And if they did, maybe that would be good, and you'd enjoy it. And this, let's say they make you sign something, and you want to sign it. It's not like you don't want to sign it, and you sign it, and you say, okay, I'll pay you $95 a month, and you'll do it, and that'll be wonderful. And whether you did or didn't read the small thing, it says you can't cancel this within a year. You can't. So you didn't look at it, blah, blah. All right. Now, something happens in your life and in your work and whatever, and suddenly you realize, wow, this is I can't afford this.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. And if I'm going to get into arrears with this company, and then you call the company and they go, look, you signed a thing. You gotta pay the money. Otherwise, we'll send it over to a collection agency. Now, collection agencies, probably I'm looking for the correct word, sinister creations of companies in the whole world, okay? And I know how to handle these guys too, but that's another story. We'll do that another night. And a lot of you people who may have heard this show over the years, including some of the years I have right here in Data Backup on this little CD, know, because I've told these stories and we've done some of these things even on the air. I've done stuff on the air where I've called companies and did things. Because one time we were actually, this show had an activist slant to it. And we did stuff. Well, it was humor, though. We did it with humor because you got to do it with humor. You can't do this stuff seriously. What are you going to do? What are you doing? You think you're going to create a Bastille Day all on your own based on your stupid little needs? Ain't going to happen. But you have the power to do things. But here's what I'm going to say about this. Now, this company, the people assigned and paid to deal with the customer relations, and you go, that's it. And most people will do this. Well, they won't let me. Now it's going to go. I got nowhere else to go because the people I talked to at the station, at the company, said I have to pay, and they want it. So you're taking no for your answer. and you feel those are the people, right? Here's what I did with a certain company. And I ended that situation. And I told the person who I was talking to at the company was also, this was the ragged old hag I ever heard voice like that. She had a voice. It was a girl's voice, woman's voice. And she was like, sure, you signed the thing and you're going to have to pay it. Now tell us. And she actually got me mad at certain points. So I said, what are you going to do? I said, you're going to come over to my house and grab it from me? What are you going to do? Well, you said you have to do it. You have to do this. And she was not compassionate. And I had no compassion whatsoever. And I said, what's wrong? I even said to her, I got really, what's wrong with you? I said, well, you know, what do you got? Where are your tumors? You know, tell me, where are you? You hurt right now? Who doesn't love you? You know, who died in your family and left their anger to you in their will, you know? So I said, apparently I've got nothing to do. Most people would go, that's it. You can't argue it. You can't do this. Here's what I did. I looked up on the internet. And again, I'm a pro. Is that the way to put it? I'm for having this library in your house, this internet, this information highway. Is amazing. The things you could do and find out that you don't have to get in your car, go to a library, start looking through things. It's amazing what you can find on here. The most ridiculous things in the world. But that just shows you the extent. But if you're really looking for something, I went to this company and I found they had a website, because now companies got to have websites. They don't hide. Inside the website, there's information about all sorts of stuff. And, but here's what I found. I wanted to find out who started this company. And they did. Because they're always proud of the man or men or two people or one person who started it. They have a name and then they have a resume. You know? Edward P. Peckinpah was a poor boy and he lived in a little place that only had a roof. His family couldn't get in the house because it was only a roof. Where did they eat? They ate outside, in the rain and the snow. They never thought of moving to a warmer climate. They all got pneumonia. They all died except for little Norman Peckinpah. Norman Peckinpah. Okay, and then they tell you the story. The guy's got a biography, and eventually, Norman D. Peckinpah started a business. With only 2 cents in his pocket, he said, I'll get rid of those bugs. And then he had 4 cents in his pocket. They killed more bugs, and he found something he never thought he would have. He found that he had an incredible talent for exterminating insects. It's okay.
That's good.
So I read this whole thing, and I found out this guy, and then I started looking. I said, well, where is this guy? Where is he? Is he retired? Is he just a figurehead now? Does he own the company or what have you? I did every piece of research I could find out to get a mailing address. And I sat down, and I wrote this guy a letter. And I said to him, I know about your roofless house. I know about where you came, surfaced and grew from the depths of poverty. And then, and now your company, people you don't know who are 5, 6, 7 degrees down the line are treating the people that made you what you are today like dirt, like the very insects that you kill. This is how they treat us. And I wrote this thing that was really a heartfelt thing of like, said, and I got to tell you that you're, you know what I did? I took the names of those people. I said, I'll give you some names of people who talked to me rudely, people who put me down, people who, and I did that. And I sent it. And left it alone. Now, most people would say like, oh, yeah, well, that's going to get there, Frank. Oh, sure. Oh, hello. They did things like, because people do things, and this is how they express themselves. Hello. They want to get your attention. Or this. How about this one? This is as good as, you know what I mean. You ready? Whatever. Whatever. I'm going to tell you whatever. I'll tell you everything ever. Sit down. Here's a rope. I'm tying you to the freaking chair and I'll tell you whatever, okay? And you're going to talk and talk until you're yelling, give me a pancake or something. I'm starving, okay? And then you can go, whatever. So I waited and I went about my business. I did not talk to anybody else in that company. I got a phone call one day. A phone call. My name is J. Peckinpah, and I represent Norman Palawalan. And I went, Norman, oh, from the exterminators or whatever it is. Like, that just misses. I was around, he was very disturbed. He read your letter and is very disturbed. Well, anyway, this guy apologized for the entire behavior, for all the behavior of the entire company, of everybody in there. I don't know what he did. I don't know if they got fines, these people, because they mentioned names. I didn't care either. And I stayed stern when I said, I very much appreciate this. He goes, well, here's what we're going to do, because we understand your problem. And we, Mr. Goldman, is going to do, and he sets up this plan that practically is whatever I can do. Okay. And he doesn't say I'm going to put 700 more percent on there or anything like that. You know why? Because they know right now they could negotiate with one person, because 9,000 people are not sending in these things. Now they can not face to face. They could one-on-one deal with one person, and they'll do it because you took the time. You didn't just find out this guy. You knew everything about him. You wrote this thing and you sent it to him. And they know that maybe one millionth of 1/10% of people are going to do that, right? Always.
Not after tonight's show.
Well, you know what? I don't think so. I don't think this is going to set mass audience and consumer audience on fire. It's not. This is now something, and you know, on this show, we have particular people who listen, and not, you know, the mainstream right now is, you know, they're watching baseball started, and they're watching these guys out there. Here comes Mickey Mick. Mickey Mick's batting 322. He picked up four grounders last week to put on a strike challenge. He, last year, he had picked up, yeah, right, okay, never mind. Sitting there, give me another beer, does it? Give me another beer. Okay. All right. They're not. The people who are really smart. And this is why I'm giving this to my audience, because there are people who are going to get into this problem, or are going to look at problems they have right now and deal with it. When you're dealing with a company like that, find out the main guy, the main gal, whoever it is on top. If they are not still members or have any kind of control in that company, and of course they do, even if they sold, or even if they got stocks or whatever, okay? I don't care how big the company may be. Whatever the case, write to them. Tell them you know their story, because most of them are just people who started out nowhere, nothing. Maybe not in a house with just a roof. But, you know, and express that you took the time to find out who these people, and you trusted the people who took it, and they betrayed you. That's the important thing. You don't even have to use those words. They betrayed you and stand there like you're talking to the landlord, the person, the one person who can do anything about what's wrong with you, what's wrong with your situation. Because the other people don't, and they can't, and they don't care. They don't care. Just like Bob Saget didn't care. Not you. How about if you went up to Bob Saget and you went, Bob, I just came to see you. I'm not going to buy that piece of crap you wrote. I just came to see you because I like you. And I watch you on TV for free. For free. I don't pay to go see you when you go to places, but I love you. See ya. What do you think he's going to go? Hey, there's a guy I really like. Okay, because we're all self-serving, and that's just the name of the game, and it's okay. I'm not saying I'm not one of those guys on talk radio who's just, I mean, I'm not judging. I'm not telling you how to behave, but I'm telling you there are things you can do by not being passive that makes sense with the biggest, most incredible companies ever. Oh, you made a sign like, now I want to say something. And then you got, and then you fell asleep.
I was touching my nose.
Oh, okay. As my mother would say, that means you're going to have a fight. Uh-oh, you're going to have a fight. That's the nose. My, you're itching your palms. You're going to get money. You're going to get money. So that's it. Now, there are other examples. But I think that whoever you are, and this is also a great thing. Well, if you're a younger person, you're just going out into the world and you're a little timid, you're a little timid because you got to deal with the people and you feel like you're making that transition into the world after school, which is like all schools for babies. Let's face it. All people in school are babies. And that's it.
If the case is here, shut up. Don't chew. Don't look.
All kids in school, I don't care how old you might be, you're all better, you're smart, you might be, They're all babies. See, but when you get out there in the real world and you go to work for an office, you know, or we're going to work in a company, you're trying to make your bones, as we say, and you're trying to do stuff. And there's people that are going to be looking at you weirdly, talking to you weirdly, and there's always going to be someone there who wants you dead. That's it, period. That's it. How are you going to deal with that? You can't be passive. Here and there, you got to play the game. This is why I say, you know, by the time you get out there in the world, read Shakespeare. Go see Shakespeare stuff. You'll understand why people behave the way they do. Out there in the world of business and corporate stuff. It's this game. It's this Macbeth game. I want to be the guy on the top. It's this Hamlet game. I'm going to get the guy who got my dad. I'm going to... It's a King Lear game. Look what my daughters have done to me. I ran this place, and they're running it down. I hate my daughters, but they have to run the place. It's all there. And the person who stands up and says something... and does something is always the person they're going to point to. Some people are going to point to that person and say, you're the guy who said that, aren't you? And they're going to... I think you know why you're a threat to them? Because you acted on your own behalf. And this is what you do as a consumer. You deserve this. I don't care if you spend 2 cents or $200 on a product or a house or a car or anything. Okay? And I sound like I'm just going to stop right now and go... Now, if you want to learn how to do this, I have a book here, $24.95. I sound like a guy doing an infomercial in the middle of the night. Why don't you buy my book? Hey, that guy Trudeau, he went to jail. The guy who was on every night selling books about how Trudeau, his name was Trudeau. Yeah, he'd jail. Jail. He sold 1 billion copies of that book, and people going like, I don't understand. I do this crap and nothing happens. It was a complete, absolute failure. And, you know, he went to jail because all he was doing was selling a book, and he wrote down things. So, and he made people pay for it. You know, this is all free, and I'm telling you exactly how I get things done. I don't have to share this with you, but I did share it with you because I think it's a good topic we could talk about, and you don't have to buy anything.
Me, on the other hand, if you want to hear my opinion, you have to buy my book called...
It's in progress, this book, right?
Yeah.
You're not done with it yet.
The so. Grass and the Liquid...
the Grass. The Grass and the what? That was a good callback.
It's called...
See? That's a callback. Yeah, and a good one, too.
It's called...
The Grass?
The Grass, colon, you know what I'm saying.
You know, yeah, you know what I mean. The grass, otherwise people are calling it The Grass is colon. That's what it's... in any event, no, this is Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. My name is Jones, the title of the show. Sitting here with Mr. Jeremy Long, who had a real tough day today. And... his father, probably even a tougher day, right? Yep. No. Thank you for the wine. He brought Merlot from...
And he made it in the toilet.
Yeah.
What do you mean you made it in the toilet? Table Leaf, California Merlot. California. You knew I liked Merlot. This 2010, a Table Leaf.
Uh-huh. It's good. It's very tasty.
Lively aromas of fresh raspberries? Merlot with raspberries? Raspberries. And strawberries. Strawberries. I say it like this, like we used to say it in England. And I used to go, you got any strawberries for my ice cream? And they'd go, oh, you'd like some strawberries? 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 It's like you're saying the same word. Guy in England told me, he said, we're two countries separated by the same language. it says here, strawberries carry over onto the palate in the fruit-forward Table Leaf Merlot.
What direction has this show taken that we're reading a bottle
of ripe, Merlot? The ripe fruit flavors, as opposed to, what are they, the spoiled fruit flavors? Of course they were ripe when you used them, aren't they? The ripe fruit flavors combined with coffee and hints of black pepper? What the screw is this? I gotta smell this.
It's good.
Are you kidding me? Where did you get this? At the freaking candy store? Or what? This has alcohol in it, too?
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna smell this crap. Hold on. Oh, something fell in it. From my nose. Well, I guess it's wine now. No, I'm joking. I have no idea. It smells like wine, but that'll be a fascinating... You're not driving with all this. You drank. Look at all you drank. You're gonna drive with this? Oh, you better drive him home. Leave his car here.
Now I'll read my bottle.
Wait a second. Government warning. Listen to this. You want to learn? Yeah, government warning. Gonna drink that table with wine, are you? Here comes the government. And it says, one, this is bureaucratic warning. One, according to the Surgeon General, who was never, by the way, a surgeon private, a surgeon corporal, he didn't work himself up. He's the Surgeon General. Yes, you, sir, are the Surgeon General. Dun, 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 dun. Salute, welcome to the room. Dun. You know what? He doesn't even perform surgery, and he can't. He's not even a surgeon. Lies, lies everywhere. The Surgeon General, women, according to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcohol beverages during pregnancy because, he knows what, because of the risk of birth defects. I was born, you this little Johnny. Unfortunately, I was drinking a lot of that table leaf wine at the time. And it didn't just affect my voice, and now I sound like my brother. It's also that Johnny was born with hiccups. And terrible. Okay. Birth defects. Did you ever hear? I never heard one case. One case. And maybe because I don't read about these things, and I should know about them. Have you ever heard of one case where a kid was born with no left ear or something, and they went like the doctor went, "Uh-oh, a wine drinker, an alcoholic drink." I mean, what? I don't know. I know there might be brain, right? And then how much? How much does the doctor say? Does a peniologist? What's a peniologist anyway? Who am I talking about? Gynecologist. A gynecologist say, I wouldn't even smell wine if I were you. I wouldn't even think wine. I would not, and you know what? Don't even read any books from drunk authors because that kid, forget about it. That's it. You're done. You want a kid with defects? Go ahead. Read Bukowski. You know, whatever. Go ahead. Pick up that Fitzgerald book. See if your kid will be walking to school. I don't think so. Whatever. You know what I mean. Okay. And then the next one is two. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause health problems. I need the government to tell me. Oh, dear. I just had a bottle of wine. I had no problem getting behind this car. I mean, is there a person on the face of the earth that knows, that doesn't know, that is impervious to the fact that if he or she drinks a bottle of wine, they should not go back to the assembly line? are there people, it's like, do you have to tell people who are on assembly lines, you go, no ties, don't wear a tie, please. Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. Because it gets stuck in the... Yes, it'll get stuck in the thing and take you... You know? If you go into a welding room, a room where they weld, right? No glasses for me! No, it's okay. I don't need those goggles. Yeah. Why do you wear those things anyway? Why do you wear those things? I mean, you know,
The hard hats.
Take for granted. Yeah.
I don't even want those...
We take for granted, what do we have to take? People are not that stupid. I don't care. You know what? Even stupid people aren't that stupid. And I think it's amazing the stuff that we have to do. Okay. So anyway, and this is all, give yourself credit for everything. And that's what I mean about don't be passive when it comes to these kind of things, right? Use the written letter. Try it tomorrow with a product you don't like or something. Whatever. And if you're
giving them homework?
What?
You're giving them homework?
Well, if they want to do it, they can. If they want to live and be passive, it's fine. If you can, you don't write a letter to every person. There are people, I knew people that they're professional contest, they enter, that's all they do. Find contests and enter every possible contest they can. People who collect coupons. Did you ever see, are you ever behind in a supermarket and a person, you're sitting there and that's an awful big handbag she has. And she takes out a file cabinet, you collapsible file, puts it on the thing and goes, let's see, I got one for this, I got one for that, I got 10 cents off of this, and I got 2 for $5, I got 5 for $2, I got 3 for $7. And the girl behind the counter is going, I gotta get a degree or something, I can't stand. Let's take
for two. I got five for three. I got nine for two. Here's one. Here's two. Here's three. Here's four. I got, oh, this one's expired. Here's three. Here's one. You know.
It's absolute madness. But, and yet that person is not passive. The person's very active, trying to say, and then they scream, they jump up and now, I saved $63! Or, you know, if she gives her all the coupon, the lady goes, here's 20 bucks. We owe you money. People save a lot of money and they do that, and that's good. They have, but they become obsessed with the fact that they're doing it as opposed to the actual function of it, which is like, I'm going to save money. Okay. So we got the right. So that's what I did with those people. Now I don't even think we have time to tell you, but I once, one time, let me tell you that the ultimate passive. I think we have time for this. Okay. I'm moving from New York to Los Angeles, and I'm, and there's a Ben, and I'm using, cause I have a place in Los Angeles. I have, things. I have an apartment, and I want to take that stuff to my new apartment. Okay. So I hire, Global Van Lines. I'm going to use that name because this is on, and I don't know, you know, it doesn't matter. I can use this name. And the, I'll tell you why, because I think that, people who, you know, this has more to do with corrupt truck drivers because they're like hired guns. Not every van line of people who move big things, stuff like that, they don't have people who actually work for them. They work as hired guns. They're like, you know, they hire someone, you got a truck. Kind of got this guy, you know, and then they got to go through the rules and everything, and then they get a piece of the action, blah, 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 okay. And there's a lot of, that's called trafficking. contracting? Contractors, what contractors do when you build houses. You got a guy who's going to build a house for you. You talk to this one guy. What do you think? He knows everything about house. Yeah, I do the plumbing. I do the electricity. I don't do the plumbing and electricity together, though, because I could die. I do the roofing. I dig the foundation. But I can't do the roofing before I do the foundation, because I got to do the foundation. You don't want to wind up like that guy who grew up in his family and only lived in a house with a roof, do you? Callback. Good move. Ding, ding. Okay. So they get all my stuff, and here's very simply what they have to do. They have to travel through, and that's a big deal. That's across the country. Last I heard, New York to California was across the country. There's no bridge now that takes you there any quicker or something, you know. So they got to do it. So they give you an estimate. Oh, before they put the stuff in the truck, someone from the company comes over and says, well, this stuff's going to weigh a ton. I don't know, whatever. Which is only 2,000 pounds, by the way, right? Or 2,500. What's 2,000? Okay. So he says, this is going to weigh this 2,000, right? He says, and they got to be right within a certain, you know, number of whatever. And you go with that and you say, okay, sign up for this. And now, somewhere down south or somewhere in the middle, Midwest, south, however route this guy took. And when this guy came over, let me tell you the first sign I had that this madness was ensuing. The guy comes over and it's one guy is, and I'm on the second floor. And I went, how are you gonna, you are gonna get this stuff down there? You're one guy. You're the strongest man on earth. And he went, you know, he said, you want to help me move some? I said, I don't want to help you, but I don't like, what do you know? He said, I'll give me 10, 15 minutes. I'll go get someone. This is what the guy said. And he went, and I lived in downtown Brooklyn. There's a very popular area. He picks up a kid. And who he said, he'd pay him and bring him. So in other words, right after that, I'm going, this is weird. They don't even have, and I didn't understand this hired gun thing at the time. But, you know, I thought it was like, well, Global Van Lines has gone, given this, they represent, this is their guy, right? Okay. So they get the stuff, and of course, one of those trucks doesn't just carry one load. It carries like three loads, three different people going to the same area, right? So they take this, they put the stuff, he gets this guy, and I did wind up helping him. I don't want that kid and you carrying the piano. I mean, I'm going to help you. I think he's going to go down there, and am I insured? I don't know what. Okay, so fine. Okay, so eventually he gets on, he goes, well, I'll call you from, I don't know, Atlanta, or it was somewhere, not south, that south. It was although it does get cold and stuff in Atlanta, somewhere in the Midwestern, maybe Texas is on the way, Arkansas, Texas, where it still get cold in the north, but it's not totally south. Because you don't go directly south to Los Angeles, even though you kind of go down and swing over. Well, that's what he did. So because what he's got to do at any given point, he's got to stop at weigh stations, and he has to, you know. So somewhere along the line, he stops and he calls up and he says, and I get in touch with him. He goes, well, he said, this is really stupid because the guy actually gave me the information that eventually I used against him. You've got to keep your ears open. Okay. You can't always figure out the things that are, sometimes people will tell you without, that they have the smoking gun and practice, you know, they'll tell you right out. Like, you know, he'll be holding a gun going, you know, and the body is right next to him. And they'll, you know, it's like, and for some reason or other, you still have a question that he shot him, and then you need one more piece of evidence. And the guy go, yeah, I fired this gun recently, but not at him. You know, hello, okay. So that's a little, I go to the comic extent because I think that, you know, gives you a better picture and determines the situation with punctuation. Okay, so he's somewhere that he calls me and he goes, you know, we weighed in. It's an awful lot. It's an awful lot heavier than what they gave you in the estimate. I said, an awful lot heavier? How can it be a lot heavier? I said, the estimate, these guys do this for a living. Now, the guys who did it are professional guys and they do it. And you figured you got to trust the guy. He's like, what are you doing for a living? Well, I'm a professional weight estimator. You know, maybe his parents started out, maybe his father started out in a carnival. Come here, guess your weight. Come try up, guess your weight. And then he carried on, and finally the kid found a way to work. He's like, you know, what can I take to do with this talent? My dad used to guess weights at the carnival. Yeah, well, why don't you work for the van lines? They have to actually excellent. Wow, bigger weights. He goes, bigger and better. I can estimate. I remember standing at the foot of the Lincoln Monument saying, holy crap, that's got to be 15 tons if it's an ounce. And I was only 1 ton off. I'm pretty darn good. Okay, so you trust the guy. He does the estimate. And here's the driver telling me. And I went, I don't think so. I just said, I don't think so. He goes, well, I got the evidence to prove it right here. He said, the other thing is this. He said, been awful slow getting through this part of the country, he says, because there had been wind and a lot of ice on the truck because of the snow and everything like that. And I said to myself, oh, yeah? Okay. I said, tell you what, before you deliver my stuff, there's a weigh station. I forgot where it was located in that one area of Los Angeles that I knew. Oh, geez, I forgot. I know this place, though. I said, there's a weigh station. I said, before you deliver that stuff to my new home, I think I'd like you to weigh it there. Oh, he goes, I don't know if I could stop him. I got loads of things on here and loads on here, and I don't know. I said, hey, how about you stop? And he says, I think you should stop. I'll find out. He said, you know, we'll find out the place. And he said, you call me when you get to the weigh station. And he's like, I don't think it's a good idea. Well, you know what? It's my stuff and it's my idea. And you better stop there. I just would not take, you know. Why doesn't he want to stop? Why weigh it again? Why not? Right. Okay, so now I sit back just the way you looked and went, there's ice on the truck? The truck is heavier? I'm paying for ice? That's not even going to get there because it gets warmer and it melts? What is this guy trying to do? He's trying to squeeze out some more money somehow. And he's got the paper that says, and I have him saying, you know, it was ice on it. He's not smart enough to keep the whole thing together and connive me. Then I'm going to be smarter and connive the living daylights out of him. And if he doesn't make the kind of money that he's got to bring home to his kid and feed him, let the kid starve because that's not my problem. And I don't like to be looked ridiculous. I just went to the Godfather. It make me look ridiculous, and I don't like to look. Okay, I'm running out of time. That was who said that? Who was his last? I think that was Caesar's last words before they jumped on stage. Me is running us out of time. On this, the Ides of Marcheth. It wasn't Marcheth, was it? So anyway, what happens? Funny on this. I said, and I called up the company, and I told them what happened. I said, your friend, the guy that works here, I don't work for us. He doesn't work for us. They right away. Well, we hire those guys. Okay, fine. I said, well, let me tell you about the guy you hired, whose young agent called me up and told me that it was way, way over your estimation. Well, really? I said, so, and I'm making him stop to weigh it before he delivers the stuff. He's going to have to make an extra stop, you know. I said, and I got to tell you, I'm very upset about this because you hired a fellow who's, and I said, it's going to reflect on you if I win this particular bet. All right. Well, you know, we're sure. And this guy Webb is talking. It's just, you're not going to hear him after a while. I got to go play golf on Thursday, and I got a new pair of pants. Whatever. Okay, so, you know what I mean. Okay, so he goes, so anyway, we go, and Silver Lake, okay? There's a way station in Silver Lake in Los Angeles. My golly, he shows up, and I show up. And we go into that place, and they put the truck on those big Hemsley sales. And you see the scale, right? And I'm just standing there, and I'm just looking at that, because I know, this is I could bet my life on this one. I mean, I know. And then you don't even have to be a gambler to figure this one out, okay? I got the numbers. He's got the figures. I don't have to say a word, right? Well, I stood there, and I just watched him, and I saw the scales went out. And the scales went exactly where I thought they would go. And he went, well, how do you like that? Well, how do you like that? I said, your next stop is my place. And I walked out because I knew I didn't have to say anything to this guy. I followed through. That's the point. There was more to this. A letter. At the time, it was probably handwritten, but at the time that didn't matter as that much. We're talking about the late 70s. Didn't matter that much. A letter. A call to one of the people at Global itself. And that person argued with me. And I threatened him. I told him, I said, I'm a writer. I could give a review and sell it to somebody about this horrible place that you call Global Van Lines that does this and hires these kind of peoples that tried to screw me. Peoples. I just said peoples. Okay. I did the whole thing. I got the guy so incited on the phone. He was yelling at me. They're not supposed to do that. Are you threatening me? I said, I'm threatening you. I'm threatening your family. I'm threatening your ancestors. I'm threatening your state, your life. Well, you know, I sound like Al Capone in the Untouchables. I want him dead. I want him dead. I want you dead. I want your mother dead. I want your father dead. This incredible craziness is going on. I worked in an office. My office on Hollywood and Vine, too. People are coming to the door. What's going on? Coming to the door. Right? I'm yelling. That's dead. I'm killing your family. They can hear the guy through the phone. They put him on the speaker. Well, I made a big fuss over it. And eventually they got back to me. They apologized. They found this box. One of the boxes was lost. Not only was an estimation under, one of the boxes was missing. And it went on. Okay. So I never used them again. And I've used this story and told this story. But the point is, if you didn't follow through, if you were passive, you were screwed. Okay. And it's not like, well, I'm not that kind of person. You don't like confrontation. Find another planet to live, I'd say, because it's going to happen with your son, with your wife, with your daughter, with your aunt, with your uncle, with your mother, with your father, with your sister, with your brother, with your doctor, with your dentist, with your what? Everyone. The cop on the beat on the cop, beat on everyone. Everything you, it's always going to happen. And that's Cthulhu Chronicles for this evening. I didn't mean to. Thank you very much. I didn't mean to get into a massive thing about it, but it's true. And that's how you deal with bureaucracy. And that's how you deal. You don't always have to. Don't be a screaming lunatic. Until that moment comes. Be that way, and you can handle anyone. And that means everyone. Most of the time, big places like what am I talking about? Places like who? Even the government will deal with you. With stuff that you have to deal with. And, who's that? Hey!
That's Cthulhu over there. You know what I mean?
Him too. I can handle it. Him, that guy. The thing is, what's the thing? The thing is that, you can do it. And you should do it. Let's see if we can put this ladder.
I did it, and so can you.
There you go. Now I gotta do this way. Hey, thanks guys for hanging out. Jeremy? You can go get some rest now, or either that, or go read Bob Saget's book. What's the name of that book, anyway?
Dirty Daddy.
Dirty Daddy, right. Yes. Yeah, first line is, I am a scumbag, right? I don't know. I don't know. He's a good guy. I love his dirty material, by the way. He's a very funny guy, and nobody would have thought. Very funny. I love his stand-up, but I'll never go see him, tell him anything. Okay, but you have a good time. Jeremy can be seen at Giggles this week. He'll be at Giggles. He'll be headlining at Giggles and the and where in the laugh?
I'll be at the Chuckle Hut.
At the Chuckle Hut, the Giggle Hut, the Hut and Laugh
in
Hut,
Nebraska.
The Laugh Hut in Nebraska, and the Chuckle Hut in Wisconsin. He'll be there
on Sunday.
On Sunday, you where?
The Laugh Machine.
The Laugh Machine, the Chuckle Machine, and all the chuckle laughing places there are. He'll be there. Go see him and get to his. What do you got? Your blog? Quick, give your blog.
Oh. Jeremy Long, JeremyLong, 0312, .wordpress.com.
Okay, on wordpress.com. Go get to him and see him there. Thank you, Steve, also for being here. Thank you for the one. Jeremy Long, MD, at the Twitter. You know, he's all over the place. Go to, what is the place called? The Instagram. Oh, we got to go. Hey, listen, good night, Mrs. Ursula, wherever you are. We'll leave you now. We got nothing more to say.
No.
到冰球小村到大市啊，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，系 Cthulhu Chronicles。